Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting of Safety Committee together. It's 6:30 p.m. Here this evening are myself, Mark Frye's chair, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Hayner, Mr. Lutke, the members of the committee. Also in attendance are council members Mr. Richardson, Mrs. Hussman, Mrs. Capellini, Mayor Stow is also in attendance, Mrs. Brining, Mr. Aller, Chief Schnorr, Captain Miller is in the audience, and Mrs. Bigelow is also helping us out with our public records and recordings. We also have members out in the audience who we will discuss. So, as all of you know, we have been considering and looking and exploring, and the Lucas County has been looking at the consolidation of the 911 services for the entire county. The primary purpose of this meeting is to decide what, if anything, we want to do regarding making a vote. So just to refresh everyone's memory, there are, I call them silos, there's five votes on this prospective council of governments that would be created under this. And if I'm incorrect in anything, Mrs. Brining, please correct me, or Mr. Allen. There's five votes. The city of Toledo, and this is driven by state statute. The city of Toledo is the largest population in the county, has one vote. The county has one vote. The largest township, which happens to be in Lucas County, Sylvania Township, has one vote. All the rest of the municipalities, which I believe there are nine, is that correct, Mayor? Have one vote collectively. And all the remaining townships of the county have one vote. And our role is to select one of two candidates. One of the candidates is Mayor Atkinson from the village of White House, who has indicated he's positively inclined to vote for consolidation of 911 for countywide 911. And the other is for Mayor Carr from Maumee, who is against consolidating 911. I believe the mayor mentioned Monday night that there were, as far as you know, there were four votes. Four communities had voted against, three communities had voted for, Mayor Atkinson and Mayor Carr. So Mayor Carr has four votes, Mayor Atkinson has three, Harbor View hasn't voted, and neither has the city of Sylvania. Originally, we were going to discuss this evening and give us an opportunity to ruminate about it and then come back on the 18th at the next council meeting and make some decisions, but the county has decided to hold the next meeting of the 911 consolidation committee and have a vote on the 18th, the morning of the 18th, so thus the potential of possibility of having an actual council meeting at the end of this meeting. So first, I know that there's some updated information that you have been provided by Mr. Aller. And I know that he's got some presentation of additional materials, and so does the chief. So I would, if there aren't any questions or comments by other members of council or the mayor, I would like to throw it to them and have them give us the updated information. Kevin, chief, you're up.
Thank you. And those three votes are who? But the White House mayor opposes that?
So Kevin, just so I understand, there are five votes total, that's five groups that will be voting, and you say three of them have generally tended toward adoption, is that right? So the other two are the rest of the municipalities and the rest of the townships. Okay, thank you.
Does Mayor Carr have costs for his proposal? No. I've never seen him either. Okay. I've looked. And I haven't found any cost estimates associated with this hybrid proposal. Okay, go ahead. Kevin, did you consider 6 days? No. Okay.
Thank you.
30,000? What does it do to the out year? The 60, the 2022, 23. So, in 2022 would be $106,000 on the 5 days, 8 to 8.
Before you jump, Kevin, I did have a couple questions for you in regards to some of the information you're giving here. First of all, thank you for the updated information. And I do remember seeing this scheduled transition time frame in the document, the 911 consolidation document. But I did have a question about the pricing that was in. Those are pretty specific numbers. Is that a specific number that's set in stone, or is that driven by the projected number of calls? So rolling prior 4 years. Got it. So but the call volume, as you call it, is that both 10-digit and 911 calls? And that's what drives the 484? So let me keep walking down the path mentally. But if the 10-digit calls, if we decide to put the personnel in to handle this other stuff and keep, I call it the quality of life question about Sylvania being Sylvania. If we do that, do the 10-digit calls still get charged to us? Sound like a high-priced consultant answer. Sorry, keep going. Okay. So we're still going to get charged for that. Okay. So do we have a sense of how many of those incident calls are, hey, I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks, can you have somebody drive by the house? And how? Okay, that would be great. Because I'm trying to get a sense of whether these numbers, based on projections, and I know that they're projections, but based on these numbers, are going to potentially decline if we decide to put these people in those chairs again or not. So in your mind, Chief, these county fee numbers, then, for lack of a better way of putting it, are based upon every single call that we get, whether it's permits for the Fall Festival, whether it's, all of that stuff is embedded in those numbers. But to whatever extent we divert those calls and still maintain those conversations here in our center, ultimately those numbers will decline. Well, it's based on a per call cost, right? An average per call cost. So all other things being equal. Right. Yeah, we can't control that. That'll still continue.
Chief, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to ask a question that's based on perception, not reality, so this is a reality check. My sense is that some number of people who your dispatchers encounter are people who have probably been involved with some sort of a criminal activity, okay? But they're either scared or they want discretion in their engagement with law enforcement, okay? So discretion means that somebody's involved with a domestic, is a victim. They don't want to have to go through the county to file a report. They don't want to have it be high profile. Yeah, well, what I observe just on city council nights is that two nights out of three that we're here, there's some activity at the window, some officer sitting out here taking a statement. So are those people, those are walk-ins kind of, right? So how much of that is real, for whatever their motivation may be? Because that, to me, especially, I'm a little dismayed that you don't have any kind of an overnight service, which I thought was maybe one of the services we really did provide for our citizens. But open at night. Well, but not under this. Would be a 7-day, okay. Okay.
Just like we are now.
Yeah. So talk to me about how much I should be concerned on the behalf of some of our citizens who are scared or timid. Yeah. But I guess the question, how many people would be impacted by that in a month? Yeah. Right. But if we close at night, they can't do that. Right. But those kind of interactions are real, what I hear you saying, and we can't, it's not necessarily a 9-to-5 proposition, right? Okay, so we have to, in my view, that's one of the things that makes this exceptional, is that somebody can walk in the door here anytime and see somebody in a uniform. Right, okay.
So, again, we are, we use in different circumstances. We had hired a lot of, we had built out this small dispatch, and we developed a lot of dispatch centers, and we were very good at that. I think maybe it was always a thought that we made, consolidate that service with the city and county, the right thing. But,
So a couple of follow-up questions, and I'm going to walk you down a couple of different paths, Chief. In the report that you and Kevin put together, I think this was a month and a half or so ago that you sent out, you talked about future costs and looking at two dispatchers. You were now talking about one. Let's lay the groundwork. Hypothetically, if countywide 911 consolidation failed with these five votes, and it didn't get the three votes necessary, we would maintain our own PSAP, correct? And what you're indicating to us this evening is that you would be recommending at least one more dispatcher, and perhaps, according to this document too, in the foreseeable future. So by adding these one or two individuals, all those other items that you are referring to that are being done by sworn officers at this point, would those responsibilities be picked up by, or that's just for dispatch because of the increased call volume? So that's, to a certain extent, that would be, if we were going to do that under best practices, or what you're indicating, would be other personnel that we would have to consider separately, correct? Okay. Doug, I think the report said two dispatchers would be 172 to 190 grand.
How does that jive with a $90,000
reduction if we added a civilian? I would think the sworn officer would be more than that. So they're civilian. Got it.
So that's kind of down the one mental path. So either way, it's clear that you would be coming to us if we don't do 911 consolidation. There's going to be incremental charges we're going to see. Both of you have indicated you're going to be recommending to us, to the mayor, and to us as council members, this is something that needs to happen, right? Okay, so the second route, that I wanted to explore a little bit more was the sworn officers that are now doing that other stuff that you indicated. Those individual officers would go out on the road. Would that mean that we would have additional officers on the road and therefore increasing our safety factor for circumstances, or would we say, okay, over time through attrition, we wouldn't need to hire as many officers because of that? I mean, is this a, you know, put one more officer on the road? How does that work? I don't understand it. Fair enough. What do you attribute the 46% increase to? I'm assuming this is a cotton tree kind of stuff.
Programs. We've never had a call at school, and
So let's talk equipment now. What's the equipment that's in the dispatch center now is provided by the county, correct?
Some of it is
our equipment. Okay. So that part would be county-driven, correct? So if we consolidate, what of that equipment would remain? What of that equipment would go away? And what if we maintain all of this stuff that we're talking about maintaining, would the city then be on the hook for purchasing whatever equipment is necessary?
We do criminal record stuff, and it's running the app, which is part of CJCC, which is a little exposed to the first step.
Thank you. You guys beat me to it. I was about to ready to ask.
All that runs through regular PC.
Okay.
We really didn't, I don't know that we have probably, in my mind, the main equipment problem we have is that we weren't going to be open at certain times. A lot of it, we need some type of call box that we could push.
Right. But the technology, we wouldn't be buying a purple and pink striped zebra here. This is standard PC stuff with apps attached, or software attached to it. Okay. So the cost of that would just be ongoing cost to the city, which would be relatively speaking minimal. And if we went down the other path and we maintain 24/7 coverage, that's a pretty significant investment for the city, incremental budget expense. Is that something that would be over time, if we said, hey, we just can't afford this anymore, is that something that we could change? And if I show up at 9 p.m. on Saturday night and we got a call box and I push the magic button, what happens?
Well, it would ring downtown, and they can move the consolidation to ring downtown, and then that would be a call paper would then have that information on the dispatcher. If there was no officer in the building, then the officer would drive.
So one of the officers would need to come off the road to handle that issue. And now, what happens?
Now they come up and they talk to the operator, they lock in, they talk to the dispatcher. I don't need to know, I would just from working in there and stopping in and helping out, I would say 50% of the time they don't believe you need to talk to an officer.
Right, that's the third thing that our kids have to provide to our officers. Anything we can do to give them kind of risk for an officer position is what we're really doing. And if I can show the
So let's talk a little bit about logistics. Assuming we consolidate, my understanding is all six dispatchers who now work with the city would have the opportunity to go downtown, correct? If we also then decided to provide additional coverage, regardless if it was 5 days or 7 days or whatever, in your thoughts, would we offer some of those dispatchers the opportunity to remain here?
So I would certainly
And then would we, where would those other dispatchers, if we, let's just use the lowest one, three people out of our six stay here, the other three go downtown, there's, but we still need six people, right? To handle Sylvania at least, with the downtown call volumes?
No.
Okay.
We have, if we do this, what we heard is that, you know, the personnel downtown will be allowed to reduce overtime through natural attenuation.
Well, that's...
So if we keep three, if we keep three, we save more money.
But it's going to be socialized amongst the entire group.
Absolutely.
We get some of that benefit.
We get some of that.
It's the fourth ripple in the pond.
Yep.
Right. Would you drop the rocket? Okay. So, and if we decide we're going to go 24/7 and keep six people, then we would theoretically allow them to do what they need to do. And none of our dispatchers would then go downtown, correct?
Well, they'd be their option.
Right, one way or the other. They could... Okay. So some would, might go, some might not. Okay.
But would we replace those positions that, of the people that went downtown? Right. That's, okay.
Yeah. And so then what's the timeline to hire a new individual? So, let's take that on face value. Don't have any reason to disagree with it. Then those six individuals would remain here, and then the 911 stuff would be handled. One of the concerns that lots of people have voiced, who are concerned about consolidation, is the lack of familiarity with the community. That would, by, and I'm not saying it's justified or not, but that's what I've heard in conversation with people who've asked me about it, and I'm sure you've heard it a million more times than I have. I'm sure you have. That's why I'm asking you, Chief. So if that occurs, then we've lost that local knowledge remains here, doesn't go downtown. What does that do to the safety of our citizens?
But the assumption is that the people who are downtown won't learn anything about Sylvania.
Well, they will over time.
Yes, they will.
And they in talking with, they brought in some of the supervisors who work there, and Mr. Hyman has talked about that. They're going to try to customize the people that work really. The last I heard, that there's a plan change. There are going to be four sectors for Lucas County, and our sector will probably be Sylvania, Sylvania Township, Sylvania.
I have a question that I don't think I've heard discussed around this, and it speaks to your models of three people, four people, six people. Have we had any discussion with the township about collaborating or consolidating the city and the township and sharing the costs of this service? And what's the outcome?
No, about dispatch.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about these other services.
No, I'm talking about the support service, not keeping dispatch here, but my understanding in talking to at least one of the trustees is that they have an interest. They understand that they're providing a Cadillac version of policing as we are. Have we had discussions with them about that? Is it a possibility to discuss it with them?
Maybe on a very limited scale.
Why limited?
Right.
I've talked with Neil and John about this extensively, and they are very open to exploring this with the city.
The problem that exists is two police departments both have to offer the same services. So
yeah.
Oh, there's an idea.
People working in the same, you'd have to have one police station.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have one property.
Right. The logistics of that would be difficult.
They all go to the same court.
They do. I don't know if another agency they put out there. Same thing with the, would you just have one phone number, call for the letters, call in the city and the township?
Yeah.
But you haven't explored that yet.
They have not asked.
Well, I know, but have we asked them?
No.
Okay. But I guess. Okay.
And this is a year away.
No common ground or what?
Yeah. It's, again, it's two different thoughts of operation. You're looking at an operation that is good.
Well, consolidation is going to happen. Okay, so it's not an issue of whether it's going to happen, it's how we're going to deal with it. And I know that trustees that I've talked with are very interested in exploring this in greater detail. I don't know where the conversation happened, but I am confident that at least the elected officials in the township are very interested in this.
Well, the simple logistics of having somebody at our window combined.
Right, and I would assume they'd all be here. That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's the most centrally located within the the township. That's not
going to
happen.
Well, but in the end, that I don't disagree with you, Doug and Mark. I think that's a worthwhile objective and goal. But that's we're kind of getting a little far afield.
Well, we're not getting far afield because it goes right to the. I mean, these numbers. Okay, we've been talking about this for months, and now tonight we get these numbers. Okay, I don't have any basis. As I look at these numbers, we're already talking about reducing them by at least $90,000 by doing a civilian staff. And I think there's no reason why we couldn't consolidate these non-dispatch services with the township. I mean, just none at all.
Or even dug some of them.
Yeah, at least some of them.
Figure it out.
You know, I think we could do some.
It's a money issue. It's, I mean, it's service, but it's primarily a financial issue.
And I agree with all that.
Okay.
But our primary objective here is to figure out whether we're going to be supportive of 911 consolidation.
Right.
Or whether we're going to be against 911 consolidation. We have a year to deal with a lot of these other issues.
And what we.
And they do have to be dealt with if we're, probably one way or the other, as Mr. Allen pointed out earlier.
And what we're not talking about is 911 services here. We're talking about a lot of other stuff. Okay, what we saw, when we all went down there, because we did, we all went down there to look at the 911 county service, county, combined county city service. And I was very impressed with that operation, personally. Impressed with the people that were running it. Okay? And I know we have incredible people here. The fact that we do this with six people blows my mind. I don't know. I know we can only do that because we have great people who are true public servants. Because they're doing things that I think I gotta believe the way you share work, the way you work schedules, the way you accommodate one another, is not the norm in a lot of circles. It's not the norm in private employment, and I am certain it's not the norm in public employment. But as I look out at what's coming, I just don't see our individual operation as a sustainable one. I mean, we're asking too much of our people. We're going to have additional equipment requirements down the road that, you know, I don't know where that money comes from. These other issues that we have to deal with, I think we need to be creative and committed to dealing with them, but it doesn't go to the issue of whether we ought to consolidate the 911 services. You know, these issues about cell phone calls, I mean, the last two times I've called 911, I got to the wrong, I called 911, I got the city, they had to transfer me to the township because I was in the township, and the other time I called 911, I got the township and they had to transfer me to the city because I was in the city. I mean, it's our community is so tight and our city is so small and surrounded by the township that their calls misdirected all the time, I'm sure. Lots of transfers back and forth. It's just, I want to deal with these problems. I think the issues about how often we staff this are difficult ones, and they're going to be driven in part by economics and in part by service. But the 911 service will be there 24/7, 365, either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Luke.
Yeah, just a question related to that, which I should have asked this earlier. Yes, the tour of the 911 center was instructive, but they had one particular visual aid that struck with me, which was the tote board for the wait time for non-emergency calls. Okay, I think the day we got there were four, and by the time we left, there were like nine, and the wait times were between 3 and 5 minutes, right? Will the non-emergency calls go down to the 911 center as well? Or would we take them here?
Especially if we are not open.
Yes. So that could be something as simple as there's been a guy double parked in front of my apartment for 8 hours or something. Yeah. Okay. That still has to go down and get in the queue.
And just to be clear, you know, the table, given the fact that the other entities have indicated what their role is going to be, mm-hmm. We're just trying to give an idea of what
right.
Plan will be to offer services.
Sure. And I really appreciate that.
And I do too, but a deal's not done until the deal's done. is the only member of the committee who's been relatively silent on this, Mrs. Westphal. I want to give you the opportunity to fire some questions or make some comments, please.
Thank you so much, Mr. Frye. You know, it is confusing, you know, we've got a lot of new information in front of us today. Even listening to you, Chief, it's very difficult to sort through how many additional people you think would need to be added and what that cost would be, and those numbers don't look like they're represented in your total numbers here. Well, you suggested that if we kept things here, we may need to hire one or two more people.
No. That was if we were keeping our dispatch center and just pulled the salvage from the county. So what you have right there is the personnel we would need to have two people in the dispatch center, the records and support, that's what I call them. Mm-hmm. And how often do you want to have a door open here for the public companies with this department?
So this is suggesting that there would be, if the consolidation did not happen, or if the consolidation does happen, but we are going to have increased expenses if it doesn't happen. So if it doesn't happen, our costs are going to go up as well. Correct.
Yeah, that current operation cost sustainability goes up by $190,000.
Okay. And then in addition to that, if we voted again to keep dispatch services here, we know that there are going to be some costs associated with updating equipment and those sorts of things that aren't really clear in this. Which I wouldn't expect to be clear in this.
I think it's important for council to understand if this 911 committee of five votes to consolidate, it's done. We don't make a decision outside of that. State law requires us to comply with that.
Right.
But so, we do have the ability to backfill around it to still provide a level of service.
We do.
Right?
But that's 911 service is going down.
Yeah, no, I right. totally understand.
And then the other thing I think that was of interest tonight was to hear this brief touch point on the hybrid system, which perhaps it's been shared with us before, but I really wasn't clear on that. So there still feels like a lot of unknowns on this. Ultimately, we do know that consolidation is likely going to happen. So I think the discussion has been helpful, but there's a lot of new information to consider.
Well, unfortunately, our clock's ticking. We don't have enough time to do it. But in a perfect world, I'd love to have some more time to get some more information. Other members of council have questions of Mr. Aller or Chief Schnorr or comments?
I'm kind of like Mary. When you first were talking, I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to hire more people even though we're sending the 911. So these, like if we do 7 days, 24 hours, these six persons would be, depending on what the current, is it dispatcher or teller, dispatch, is that what? Dispatcher is the word. Okay. If I guess the cost of the new hires, if it is new hires, if the six people don't stay, they're new hires. Oh, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
To go, and we hire six people.
we getting six people that can hide, can do all the things that the six people that are here now are doing?
Yes, yes. There wouldn't be any additional staff.
Okay.
If anything, you would, the three is just reducing, what, six people now down to three.
Okay, and here's my point. But they're not taking the 911 calls anymore. So when they have more time and more capabilities to do some of these other things,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. And they could start doing things that other departments have civilian employees to do, property and,
right.
And records checks,
right.
And all these types of things that we're using sworn people now.
And we would like to stop using sworn people in these services.
Right.
Because they, I assume, cost us more money to have
almost twice.
Right. Right. And we take them off the street to bring them in here to do that.
Exactly.
So we don't want to do that anymore.
Let's try to be a little more efficient.
Thank you.
Mrs. Capellini, looked like you were getting ready to ask some questions.
So, well, quickly, so my takeaway is that we're the little fish in this puzzle that it's going. 911 is going to be consolidated, but the backfill part, we absolutely, I mean, the next time we talk, I feel like the township needs to be in our discussion because, like, it would just be ridiculous for it not to happen like that.
I agree.
And so that's all I have. I mean, and we have a year to figure that out, so we're not going to be.
We have a year to figure that out.
And since we have a year, we're not going to be stressing out and throwing something together. We can thoughtfully put it together, figure it out, and we'll be fine.
Because there seem to be concerns about what would happen here. It's going to look like this for the foregone conclusion. There was concern from folks about what's going to happen here, what service are we going to be.
And we appreciate the
Yeah, absolutely helpful. You know, Mark, I don't know how you plan on structuring whatever it is we vote on tonight. I mean, I heard somebody talk about the fact that it was really a motion to nominate one or the other of the two mayors or trustees to be our representative. In light of the conversation and what I think I hear some of the council members saying, it would be helpful to get me to be enthusiastic of supporting a recommendation if I had some kind of commitment that the administration and council were committed to using the year that we have to have some meaningful discussions about this. I mean, you know, literally coming up with a plan. If I were here next year, I would support the 24-hour plan, but then also really forcing yourselves to have some engagement with the township and talk about whether there can be even partial cost sharing or staff sharing around that. So I can't make that motion. I don't know if you intend to, but I think that it would help me to have some sort of commitment that would be part of the mix.
Well, we've got one other member of council that has been not saying anything, so I want to give him an opportunity first. Okay, so I do want to also give, Mayor, did you have any other comments that you wanted to make at this time? I want to give we do have a few guests here, and I want to give them the opportunity to ask questions or make comments shortly.
A little bit of background information that you may want to know. During my tenure, we tried twice to consolidate the staff. Both times, one was for the chief staff, other times for the chief. Both times, we did find a way to reduce the number of personnel because we just don't have to have that discipline anymore. But it came down to labor representation saying, well, we're not going to lose any jobs here. We're not going to lose any jobs there. And this issue of keeping the door open 24/7, I wasn't willing to give on that at all. So we have tried to consolidate the two together. approached by a non-Sylvania Township trustee, trustee from another place, saying, Mayor, if you're support fighting consolidation, I'm for that as long as you say that we'll never have to pay for this tax. And I just said, we're missing the whole point. We should be paying their fair share. They don't want to pay their fair share. This doesn't, this isn't reflecting on the Sylvania Township at all, because they pay for their own.
Right.
They pay a lot for it.
Right.
So those are just a couple of the outside issues.
I appreciate that.
They are supposed to, yes. And these numbers, if you see going down from 2021 to 2024, is to allow them to pay it into their schedule. So in effect, we're going to be subsidizing it out of our fund so that they don't have to pay for it right up front. That is really disgusting as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we're subsidizing it either way, though, because it's coming out of the county budget. Yeah, well, it's out of our pockets anyways.
But if you get out to the last town, 2024, and you have 7 days, 24 hours, and you take $190,000 off of the $200,000, it's almost a wash.
That's, thank you, Mayor. I was going to point that out as well.
Mark, one more observation. I just want to point out that our fire chief, Mike Ram, in his role as president of the Lucas County Fire Chiefs Association, has made clear that the Lucas County Fire Chiefs Association believes that positive operational enhancements can be realized as a result of implementation of the proposed Lucas County Dispatch Consolidation Plan. This proposal has the ability to improve the delivery of fire and emergency medical services throughout Lucas County. Therefore, our organization, being the Lucas County Fire Chiefs Association, voted to support the proposal from a fire and EMS perspective. They voted on that on August 28th, and I think I circulated that too. So our fire chief supports consolidation. He's right.
So if there are members of the community that are here that would like to speak, let's start with the people who are for the 911 consolidation. And okay, nobody wants to step to the mic before the 911 consolidation. Those who are against it, please come up and identify yourself, sir, for the record.
I was on that committee. We were going to
Mr. Armstrong, based upon your historical knowledge of this, let's assume hypothetically that this goose is cooked, that they already have the three votes, that have decided we're going to do this. Because that's kind of the premise that the chief and Mr. Aller were running with. Let's assume that that's true. Recognizing your concern about it, but let's assume that's true. In as a person in your experience, what is your thought process associated with the non-emergency services and the need to staff here at all, or 5 days, 12 hours, or 7 days, 12 hours, or 24/7?
I'm not knowing what they all get in the service, but they're in certain holidays. 10 years ago, when I retired, there was a walk-in. And not having seen the two beds, we need to make care of them. If we get, like she said, if we get the lawyer, family members, and the bond, somebody else. We just get the general walk-in. Maybe not so much after, but I don't know, like, but if we get a team, we would get a lot of luck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whether it's a quick lawyer, general information, you have to walk-in, we need some way.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. Any members of council, questions for Mr. Armstrong? Thank you very much, sir. Anyone else in the audience that wants to make comments?
My name is Steve Lafferty. I was hired by the city of Sylvania in 1998 to be dispatcher in 2005 and 2015. A couple things that I want to point out. I am against this. I don't believe they plan to staff that center properly. Currently, they have 9 to 10 911 operators downtown answering phones for this county and the city of Toledo. The proposal that you've all received a copy of says they will do it. Adding another 200,000 plus calls, 911 calls a year, and maintaining those for the 10 bodies. Second, there are times downtown that people call 911 and they get a report. 7-1, all operators are currently busy, they stay on the line and call. We don't have that. You pick up the phone, you have 911, you're going to get somebody. Very rarely do we see our 911 flyer to the point where we know we can answer 391 at once. Very rarely do we have a situation where our fourth or fifth 911 call at the same time rolls over to the county and takes it back. There is no level of downtown, but there may be 9 operators down there. So if you have a big accident on I-75 at 7:30 in the morning, he's driving, reading the word, and there's cars everywhere. There's 4 or 5 cars, there's some people in the cars, airbags are deployed, now you've got dust and airbags coming out, you've got fluids all over the road, people driving through glass, everybody's picking up a phone and dialing. Do that mess. How many calls? Who knows? I mean, I've received incidents. Do you get red lights, red and blue lights, or the fire department asks you with a big accident like that? The calls keep coming. And it's coming and coming. There's time that I've had 15 calls for the same injury accident, but my freezer and the rest. The accident's on the expressway, it takes 3-4 minutes to get there, even, when you're not. So you get one incident like that, and you overload the 911 system downtown. So my answer is
Can't that happen here, too? Can't you overload it in Sylvania, too?
Well, good.
Okay, good.
Here.
You have a bus accident on Haroon like we had a couple of weeks ago?
Well,
how many?
I'm sure they got busy.
I bet they did. Thank you.
Major incident. And now your brother over in Oregon is having chest pain. Sylvania's incident is clogging up the 911 system. Okay? And your family member can't get through for 3 more minutes.
You know, I think this overload could happen anywhere at any time.
Right.
And it can happen here just like it can happen downtown.
Yes.
So I just don't give this no credibility. I'm just telling you.
6 square miles versus how many?
So, Mr.
We are here at 6 square miles.
And well, a lot of times we have one dispatcher on hand.
You're
one.
Right. That's not safe. I'll tell you what, go back into my performance reviews, okay, and have a look at it. And every performance review I ever had, tell me if I'm wrong, what can we do better? What can we do better to make our dispatch systems better for Sylvania? And what did I say? You increase demand. One more person. I hammered Chief Scott for it. He gave me the authority to, he asked for my opinion. What do we need to do with that? You're the expert. I'm gonna handle this, and you handle that. Okay? And bring me your plan. Bring me your suggestions. That ever happen? Every year. That's just one thing. I want to bring up increased costs, because the costs you're looking at on this document you have in front of your office, I can tell you what it is. It's probably in the cost. Each one of those is going to generate an incident. And the city of Sylvania is going to be charged by the incidents. Currently, we don't create an incident when we have an open 911 line. We handle it proactively. We don't need an incident to pick up the phone and dial the number back that just called in. If you get somebody that accidentally dialed, great. Okay, no problem. No harm, no problem. We need a lot of time to get recordings when we call back. We get voicemail. We leave a message. We call 911 to get an emergency or when we get to the phone. Then we go into the database, emergency type database, look up that number and see if there's reports, any kind of reports associated with that phone number to make sure that maybe it's not a visual offender, maybe someone involved in federal domestic violence, that sort of thing. We find there is, we discuss, produce the location. Otherwise, we have less of that 911 call hang up, came in from a landline. We have no idea where this is. We can tell you, what tower it hit. It hit the Alger Low Tower, or it hit the tower up by Kroger, Sylvania Avenue, but we have no clue where those people are. So we just not like to send people. But the Toledo plan will be to bundle it and incident for that, or by calling it back, if they can't track it down any other way to clear the incident. But that incident is going to be charged. And you see those coming down today? On average? Do you know? Only 1,000 plus cases just for 911. The other thing we currently don't do is someone calls for fire rescue in the city of Sylvania. Okay? We take the information, so go to the township, and we will dispatch it. The cost of those calls, just assume between the two towns. Okay, we don't pay Sylvania Township for their fire dispatch or their police dispatch. Under the new proposal, if we call tonight and say, need a rescue squad here at the township chamber, city of Sylvania is going to be billed for only $25 for that call. Right after that. Everybody that dialed in, we're talking 4,000 fire and rescue calls in the city of Sylvania, multiply that. That's a lot of money. It hasn't been paid before, it's going to be paid. Ridiculous. or unnecessary. Chief Schnorr covered it. I'm going to say probably 70% of the people walk in, don't need to see an officer. They have general questions, or they want to, you know, why isn't my report that investigated yet? You know, why haven't I heard from the detective? And we can look up that information and find out where it stands. We can give the detective's name and say, look, they're writing on the call and then. Somebody has, you know, says, I need to file a theft report. You know, I'm in Salina City PD. The way, with consolidation, they're going to be going outside, first of all, and there's going to be a telephone booth outside. Those people are going to be rushed. One call, the next. And how much time are they going to spend to, you know, really question and talk this out? They're going to send that police officer to the police department to meet that person, creating an incident, only to find out that their theft occurred in the state of Michigan.
Mr. Lafferty, yes. I don't mean to interrupt you, is there? But I do want to be cognizant of the time as well. Are there other we understand that you're against the 911 consolidation. Were there other points that you wanted to bring up specifically? So I'm going to ask you, I appreciate that. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Armstrong. Let's assume this goose is cooked because we don't. Well, then I, okay, so I'll take you at your word in that regard. In your mind, as far as continuing to provide staffing here at our current dispatch center, what is your thought process based on your experience? Should we have it or not? And if so, how much should it be?
Understand that the people that are going to be working there will no longer be dispatchers. They will no longer be able to get on the radio and say, hey, I need a crew here at the PD to take a back report. That all has to channel downtown to the dispatch center located in downtown. You can't have multiple dispatchers in charge of the crews. One dispatcher is going to be in the basically, if you maintain a service, it's going to be just a handle. It's going to be a handle walk-in. It's going to be the new fingerprints. It's going to be the process records. But I don't see how both are affordable. You may double the cost you're paying today, or at least multiply the cost by 50% of that.
Thank you very much. Any members of council have other questions for Mr. Lafferty? Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time.
One comment for both Army and for Steve. In my more than 20 years as mayor, never got any complaints about dispatch. You guys and your crews took care of it. That's not the case in other jurisdictions. You did take care of business, and I appreciate it very much.
And we all do.
Please. Ms. Kelso, I'll ask you the same question if you don't mind.
Yeah.
and this is, I think I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyways, just for the record. If 911 is consolidated and it moves downtown, and the city decide, the council and the administration decide they want to provide staffing, which of these would you suggest and why?
Well,
24/7 or?
Well, 24/7 is different for a town that if you try to go shopping at 5 o'clock, the Kroger is very busy. So the walk-in to our place overnight changed. After 8 o'clock, it goes down. And then there's one people that might come at 2 in the morning to get out some person at the jail. So that service would, of course, is that necessary? Maybe not.
No, I think you answered my question. Basically, I'm trying to figure out in your mind, assuming that 911 is consolidated, now what? We have a situation where it is what it is. We may have an influence, or we may not be able to control it. Based on what I'm hearing, by and large, we're probably not going to be able to control that decision. Then we have other things we need to deal with ongoing walk-in traffic and other things that were discussed by the chief and by Mr. Allard. So that's why I was trying to get a sense from you as to what sort of staffing, from your perspective, because you're on the ground dealing with this stuff every day, that you're working, what your thought processes would be in regards to staffing requirements. That's why I was curious to hear what your opinion was. Any questions from the members of council? Ms. Councilor?
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Captain Miller, you're the only one left in the audience. Are you going to remain silent, or would you want to make a comment?
Captain Miller is the administrator over dispatch, so
even better.
Well, I'm not as one of the employees that focus entirely on that. And, you know, I have a lot of
It's only like how we can make sure that we're using the most effective and efficient ways we can.
Not right now. My apologies.
And I think maybe Mr. Allen will know the answer to it. I know certainly that there is a vote scheduled on November 18th. Is there, is that vote a self-imposed deadline, or is there a requirement for us to make this, for the larger communities to make a decision on this by a certain point in time?
The meeting that is being held on November 18th is going to be on November 18th. That assists us to try to go to the next part. The way it stands right now, the other four votes, if you are established, the county has their representative, the city has their representative, the township, Slayton Township has their representative. The main townships have their representatives. The cities have not been included. Because it does take a majority, if it's five of them, to actually have a point. So, assuming that meeting takes place on the 18th, then basically the city voted to be an exception.
But the vote
will have
to be
decided at that point.
Any other questions from members of council? Thank you. Apologize for the coughing fit. So the issue before us specifically is whether or not what the safety committee wants to advance legislation to a potential special council meeting regarding one of the two entities. As you recall, one of them being against it, and that's Mayor Atkinson from White House, and the other being Mayor Carr from Maumee, Mayor Atkinson being for consolidation and Mayor Carr being against consolidation.
But you don't have any, other than the full disclosure, you don't have any.
He's good there. Okay. No problem. But he clearly did not have an open mind.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'm looking for a motion from a member of the committee to advance a resolution for the city of Sylvania designating Mayor Carr or Mayor Atkinson as Sylvania's representative for this particular vote.
I'd move to advance Mayor Atkinson as our representative.
I have a motion on the floor for Mayor Atkinson. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor of Mayor Atkinson being designated as the City of Sylvania's representative signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Correct. That's correct. So I know, Mrs. Brannon, you have legislation that you prepared both ways, or a resolution, excuse me, that you prepared both ways, not knowing which way this was going to come out. Are there any other items that need to come before the Safety Committee this evening? Hearing none, committee is adjourned at 8:10 p.m.